What do you do if your child goes missing? Nancy Grace here. I want to tell you about a brand new online video series, Justice Nation, Crime Stops Here. It's a 5-episode series delivering action information that you can apply in your everyday life to protect your family. Go to nancygrace.com now. Use promo code Nancy for 15% off. nancygrace.com. Promo code Nancy. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
In juvenile hall, I had given up on life. I thought, I won't live. I won't live past 16. There's no way I'm going to make it. And I was only 13. I wasn't even 14 yet. And I couldn't see myself making it to 16. Maybe not even 15. It just wasn't even a thought that I would. By the time when I was trafficked at 12, I should have been dead by 19. I mean, that's the statistics, a 7-year life expectancy. And that's what should have happened to me. But fortunately, someone came into my life and planted this seed and said, you have potential. And then I started trying to figure out what that meant. This message that we can all do something needs to get out there. We have our unique abilities, talents, and we can develop them and we can change the world with them.
You are hearing the voice of a child sex trafficking survivor. Wow. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. I can distinctly remember prosecuting a case of child molestation where the girl was about 12 years old. And when I went looking for her, trying to find her out on the streets of inner city Atlanta, I found her in a brothel. And I went in the room and came out and said, she's not there. And a cop said, my undercover vice cop said, go back in. She's the one in the white boots. I went back in. I came back out. I said, no, she's not. That's a 35-year-old woman. It was a then 13-year-old girl that they had made up to look like a grown woman with a weave and high-heel boots and tons of makeup. And I could not believe that that was the little girl whose picture I had in my file. You were just hearing the voice of Carissa Phelps, child sex trafficking survivor. And that voice was brought to you by an incredible woman, Melody Miller, a documentary director of California's Forgotten Children. With me, Melody Miller, Mark Clast, world-known victims advocate and founder of Class Kids Foundation, Joseph Scott Morgan, forensics expert, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, and author of Blood Beneath My Feet, Karen Stark, veteran New York psychologist, and Kenya Johnson, felony prosecutor. To Melody Miller, how did you meet all these child trafficking survivors that are in California's Forgotten Children?
Well, when I was 17 years old, I started volunteering for a nonprofit in Oakland called Missy, and they rescue and rehabilitate children who have been commercially sexually exploited. And I wanted to make a film for them after volunteering for 9 years now about child sex trafficking, but through the voices of survivor leaders. And so they were able to connect me with survivor leaders who are openly sharing their stories and their journey in order to make a difference in the world, and also doing incredible things, fighting every day to help victims worldwide.
As we hear Carissa Phelps' voice, this child sex trafficking survivor, this with the backdrop of in the last days, 123 missing children have just been found in Michigan during a sex trafficking sting. 123 missing children were found across Wayne County in a single sweep aimed at identifying and saving missing children, victims of sex trafficking. You know, Mark Clast, when we first started this business of trying to find missing people, which you've devoted your life to after someone abducted your daughter, Polly, I kind of poo-pooed sex trafficking. I thought that was too organized, that you couldn't get defendants together to have a sex trafficking ring with children without somebody talking. Boy, was I wrong, Mark Clast. How does it happen?
Well, Nancy, For most of our history, human trafficking in the United States was a supply and demand issue. We always thought that foreign nationals were supplying our demand. But what we found in recent years, really almost in the last 10 years, or since President Bush signed the first TVPA in 2001, what we have discovered is that our youth are supplying our demand. So we have runaway children who become very, very vulnerable and oftentimes fall under the spell of human traffickers and find themselves caught. And law enforcement understands this now in ways that they couldn't even 5 or 10 years ago. And they're working in multi-jurisdictional task forces like the one in Michigan that are comprised of law enforcement, nonprofit organizations, oftentimes merchants, to try to figure out who these kids are and where they are. And this demonstrates a very profound success in that effort.
Listen to this.
My childhood was filled with just constant trauma. And at the same time, I had to hide it and had to act like it was a normal childhood life. People often assume that when I say that I'm a survivor of sex trafficking, that I'm from Southeast Asia, and I fit that stereotype. So I want people to know that it happens here and that I'm a U.S. citizen, I was born here, and that I was sold here.
You are hearing the voice of Min Dang, also a child sex trafficking survivor, as she is speaking out in Melody Miller's documentary, California's Forgotten Children. This with a backdrop of a recent sting where 123 children were discovered in a single sweep in Wayne County. To Kenya Johnson, Atlanta prosecutor, you know Kenya, I recall that particular case and prosecuting the pimps that were pimping out the girl. Just so you know, I got a mistrial in the opening statement when I called the defendants pimps. They were not charged with pimping. They were charged with aggravated child molestation. I can't even remember all the charges. But yeah, I got a mistrial. It was in front of Judge Don Langham, who was a great judge. There's nothing he could do about it. You know what I did? I said, fine. That was on a Monday morning. We had struck the jury and just started opening statements when I called him a pimp, which was true, and got a mistrial. As you know, grand jury in inner city Atlanta is on Tuesdays and Fridays, I think it was. I grabbed the detective by the collar and went, come on. We're going straight down to the grand jury. We re-indicted the case, okay, and included a misdemeanor count of pimping. On Wednesday, we restruck a brand new jury, and I gave the same opening statement. And I remember the girl was so afraid of testifying against her traffickers, we called them pimps, now they're sex traffickers, that she ran away in the middle of the trial. Honey, let me just tell you, I had her picture all over the evening news. We found her at like 1 a.m. one night hiding and had to basically put her in protective custody to testify. Thank God we got a conviction. But back then, at that time, it was called pimping, not sex trafficking, Kenya Johnson.
That's right. And here in Atlanta, we see that very often. Atlanta is a hub for sex trafficking due to its proximity to the interstate highways and the world's busiest airport. So congratulations on sticking with that case and trying it in the way that it should be tried. What I find is interesting is our research shows that human trafficking, sex trafficking, is not your traditional lady of the night, streetwalkers on corners, but now it has grown into the internet and computer base. So they have these affinity groups and networks of hundreds of people that are interested in these sex slaves and underage women or young ladies for sex. And so it's a very protected network that is very alive here in Atlanta, and we need more prosecutors like you that are willing to follow the cases all the way through to make sure that they are tried and resolved appropriately.
What do you do if your child goes missing? Do you know what to do? I will never forget when my son, I was with John David and Lucy, alone with them. They were about 2.5, and John David went missing in the blink of an eye in a huge Babies R Us superstore. What do you do? Did you know 450,000 missing children are reported every year? 1 in 7 runaways. we now believe, are victims of child sex trafficking. Nearly 40% of attempted kidnaps happen when a child is walking to or from school. I just want to go run right now and check on the children. What do you do if the unthinkable happens to you? This isn't just a story or a hypothetical question. It happens every day. I want you to learn from people who have dedicated their lives to protecting children. Go to crimestopshere.com. I want to tell you about a new online video series for you called Justice Nation, Crime Stops Here. It is a 5-episode series delivering action information you can apply in everyday life to protect what you love the most, your family. Go to Crime Stops Here and get a huge discount. Know that portions of proceeds are going to Class Kids Foundation and NCMA, National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. CrimeStopsHere.com. Class starts October 16.
He's the son of the former Louisiana Chief Justice, and now he's accused of buying and selling a 14-year-old girl to have sex with. According to the Bill of Information, on multiple occasions, Pascal Calagaro III paid $120 to have sex with the child. The documents say Calagaro also drove the child to a hotel on O'Keefe Street to have sex with another man. In fact, the documents say Calagaro began to sell the child to multiple men. Federal prosecutors say Calagaro used his own home for prostitution dates he set up between the child and an adult male. Neighbors say they noticed multiple men and at least one young girl going in and out of the house in the past.
We've done a lot of advocacy.
Sherry Lockridge is a human trafficking case manager for Covenant House. She says this story represents a common arc.
We've seen that before where Johns have become then the trafficker, where they've used that to introduce themselves to the girls as a customer and then exploit them further.
She also says stories like this are more common than people realize.
It happens every day right here, downtown, uptown, suburbs, Metairie, Kenner, everywhere.
In a federal bill of information, prosecutors say 59-year-old Pascal Calagaro III trafficked a 14-year-old girl. Federal investigators say in May of last year, Calagaro III engaged in prostitution dates with the victim and drove her to dates with others. They say he also negotiated prices and arranged times and locations of prostitution dates with other men. Calagaro III is the son of retired Chief Justice of the Louisiana Supreme Court, Pascal Calagaro Jr., who is the longest-serving justice in state history. According to federal investigators, Calagaro III conspired with another person listed on the bill as J.B., who is accused of recruiting the 14-year-old to work for him as a prostitute. Attorney Bobby Horsberg says the charges are serious.
They're not only accusing him of having sexual encounter with this minor, but they're also accusing him of facilitating other sexual encounters between this minor and other individuals. Obviously, that's very serious.
The son of a retired Louisiana Chief Justice charged with sex trafficking a minor child? You are hearing from our friends at WWL-TV News in New Orleans, Lauren Bell, and New Orleans Fox 8, Rob Krieger, reporting on federal charges against the son of a Louisiana Chief Justice. You want to tell me that child sex trafficking is not happening? It is happening right under our noses. Joining me, Mark Class, Melody Miller, Joseph Scott Morgan, Karen Stark, and Kenya Johnson. To Joseph Scott Morgan, if the children are too afraid to speak out, how can you prove it? And I mean, here you've got the son of a retired Louisiana Chief Justice. And what about LT? Remember him? Lawrence Taylor, the football star who competed on Dancing with the Stars? He ordered up a little girl like she was a pizza delivery and then raped her in his hotel room. He got zero jail time. Yeah, LT, Lawrence Taylor. Every time I watch him dancing across the floor on Dancing with the Stars, I want to puke. How does it happen, and how can we prove it, Joe Scott?
It's very difficult. Nancy, I'm going to mention two streets here. And the first one is from my old jurisdiction in New Orleans. It's called Airline Highway. Many people will be familiar with it from the Jimmy Swaggart incident many years ago. And the other place is something you're very familiar with, and that's Stewart Avenue, now known as Metropolitan Boulevard.
Well, stop right there. Hold on. Just before you finish your story, that's where I found the little girl I was telling Kenya Johnson about in a flop house on Stewart Avenue. I think it was called the Twin Oaks or something like that. I don't know what it's called now, but it was a filthy, at the time, a filthy motel.
Yeah, there was the Alamo. There were a variety of these places. And it's interesting, you know, you draw this comparison, the case involving LT with kind of ordering up a pizza.
Will you stop calling him LT? It's Lawrence Taylor.
Okay,
thank you.
You got it.
What are you, all best friends with him?
No, absolutely not. I don't generally hang out with people that snort cocaine. But at any rate, these two places are notorious, and they are absolute dens of horror and strife for these young girls that come into these areas. They're in these hotels many times. They're walking the stroll. They have their pimps that are out in the dark shadows watching them. These girls have no way to escape, and it leads to horrible things, drug addiction. It's a pestilence in the local neighborhoods that affects the people that live there. And also for these poor girls that are so desperate and longing for help, many times they end up killing themselves, and that's the horror.
To Karen Stark, New York psychologist, what he just said is true, that many of the children end up committing suicide. Explain.
Well, you heard one of the girls who was talking, Nancy, and she was saying that she would never have lived until 19. That was predicted of her. And you could understand how that happens, because they are too young to be able to process developmentally what is going on with them. Life is despair. They have no way out. They don't see a future. They're addicted to drugs. They're being taken advantage of and used for sex. And so they kill themselves because there is no other alternative for them, the way that they see it. It's horrific.
You know, Jackie here in the studio with me is pointing out something that one of Melody Miller, the director of California's Forgotten Children, one of her survivors, Min Dang, said. She said, quote, "I was born here and I was sold here." To Mark Class, founder of Class Kids Foundation. Mark, people have the misconception that these child sex victims are from, you know, like Thailand or China. That's not true, Mark.
Well, that's exactly right. We are supplying our own demand. And it's estimated, Nancy, that 1.2 and 1.6 million children run away in this country every year, and that half of those children are girls. And what happens is they run away from their homes. They find themselves in a very small fish in a very big pond. They may find themselves in Atlanta, for instance, or San Francisco or Los Angeles, and they are very vulnerable. And what happens is that the pimps are looking for that. They're looking for vulnerable children, and then they use all of the means necessary to coerce and groom and lure these girls into their web of protection, so to speak. And you find situations where children who have not really had any kind of a solid relationship in their lives are drawn to these guys, and they feel that these guys actually care for them, and they end up finding themselves being trafficked. They've been betrayed again and again and again in their lives, to the point where they seem to feel that there are absolutely no options for them, which is when we have to intervene and try to find a way to give them a life.
If you know or think you know of a child being mistreated or a sex trafficking victim, dial 855-814-7728. 855-814-7728.
I grew up in foster care. I see more than 14 homes that I can remember. But a lot of times growing up in the foster care system, I just was put in positions where I was abused verbally, sexually. I was also being told that I was nothing but a paycheck. I couldn't fully comprehend what was going on at that age. I was too young. I was a baby. But talking to a girl that at 15, 16, you know, early 17, I didn't have any dreams. And now I've exceeded beyond anything that I could have ever imagined.
You are hearing from a child sex trafficking survivor. With Thelma T. Ortiz, Walker Pettigrew, lived to tell her tale. And she told it to Melody Miller, documentarian of California's Forgotten Children. Melody, your documentary, California's Forgotten Children, is making all the rounds at film festivals right now, and I'm sure it's going to be highly, highly acclaimed. But when you look back on speaking to all these people, these child sex trafficking survivors, what is your prevalent thought?
Well, the documentary took me 5 years to make. It was a long and beautiful journey. And I think what kept me going and what kept me inspired and was the survivors' stories and all the amazing things that they're doing now, their healing journey, and just being able to give back and create such a huge change in our society by telling their stories. And it's just really inspiring for me, and it's what kept me going to share their stories.
To Mark Class, victims advocate, founder of Class Kids Foundation, all over the Atlanta airport and airports all over the country, there are now posters and billboards about trying to stop child sex trafficking. What do we look for?
Well, we look for situations. And somebody had just mentioned this whole thing has moved on to the internet, and the pimps are trafficking the girls via the internet. They were doing it via Craigslist until it was stopped, and they were doing it via Backpage until they stopped doing it. And so they just migrate to different websites to do it. And what they do is they advertise children, and they identify them by keywords like new to business, young and tender, pretty young thing, fresh meat, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if anybody sees those kinds of advertisements, and they need to do something about it.
Hold on, let me take that in a moment. New to the business, young and tender. Mark Class, is child sex trafficking as prevalent in rural areas as in metropolitan areas? Because this Wayne County, Michigan sweep, that included rural areas too.
Sure, sure. It goes on absolutely everywhere. And that's something we understand and realize now that we didn't understand even a decade ago. And I'll tell you where it really takes off is when you get into huge venues, things like the Super Bowl, places where you have a lot of men with disposable money and a lot of time. Then you're going to find a great migration to these venues, and the activity on things like Backpage or Craigslist will multiply tenfold in the week leading up to these situations, and then they'll disappear and move someplace else, oftentimes back to the rural areas in the aftermath of these huge events.
You know, human sex trafficking of children is happening right under our noses. One girl says she woke up in a room in a house in New Jersey she had never seen before. There were two men in the room. One was who had gotten her out of jail. She's a teen girl, when she was picked up on a theft charge. And he, somebody she had never met, bailed her out. After she refused to become one of their sex slaves, he rammed her head into a bucket filled with bleach and glass shards. And I am reading directly from court documents. A grand jury listened in November as this woman, who only refers to herself as victim number 5, talked about being in another room as all this was happening. Take a listen.
An end to domestic violence, sexual assault, and human trafficking. I will not live to see it. I think folks think about, they have a mental picture of who is trafficked. And it's so much more than that. And there is actually people who are, you know, can live in an area, never leave their neighborhood, and be trafficked as well. A lot of times when this happens, it's not someone would look for. Also, people kind of had this vision of pretty women, you know, with prostitution. And there's no Richard Gears out there either. So what we see is folks that, you know, yes, there are some folks that are trafficked and brought into this country. That is not the rule, especially for what we're seeing here in Adams County. There is that, and there's quite a bit of that. But we also see folks that are trafficked by people close to them. You know, I would really like to be out of business because we're not needed. And, you know, that no one does this anymore. But unfortunately, that's not the case.
You were just hearing from Terry Hamrick, the president and CEO of Survivors, Inc. She has been working to end human trafficking for years, as we all have. You know, I'm trying to figure out how you prove it, how you stop it. And the only way I know to stop it is to prove it and to prosecute it. And I don't understand. Let me go to you on this, Mark Klass. How was it that in Wayne County, they knew where 123 missing children were in one sweep?
I believe it was through networking, Nancy. I believe that they diligently talked to the families, to the friends, to the acquaintances, and they put the pieces of the puzzle together. And when they felt that they had that puzzle figured out, they went out and did their sweep. And that's how they pulled in all of those kids.
Well, take a listen, Mark Klass. This will interest you. WXYZ-TV News Detroit's Seema Chowdhury, and she's talking to the Michigan State Police Missing Person Unit Sergeant Sarah Krebs. Listen.
We took a ride along with police. In one case, officers found a 14-year-old staying in a vacant house.
He hadn't eaten a meal in 3 days. Those are the types of kids that we're dealing with in this, and it's really sad.
Once recovered, the next step is to ask a series of questions to find out if they were sex trafficking victims.
Who did they stay with? Did somebody pay for them to stay somewhere? Did they do favors for them? Did they give them drugs?
Officials tell us 1 in 6 runaways get involved in sex trafficking. By finding them, it not only saves their life, but it could lead police to the traffickers. In less than a day, law enforcement officials recovered more than 100 missing kids from Wayne County. Of those, 3 sex trafficking cases have opened.
If we can do this more often, hopefully we won't have this big of a problem.
You know, and to you, Melody Miller, documentarian of California's Forgotten Children, people think, where are you going to find child sex trafficking victims? Or how are they going to act if you see them in public, if they are out in public? They blend in because they're too afraid to speak, Melody.
Yeah, I think what really drove me to fight in this movement is when I was in high school and I started volunteering for Missy, I wasn't able to meet any of the children because they were going to the same high school as me. So a victim could have been sitting right next to me in my classroom. And so from that moment on, I knew that I had to do something about it and I had to fight for my peers.
He drove me off into an industrial area, and he's cussing at me, and he told me he was going to kill me if I didn't do what he told me to do. But I looked on the dashboard, and there's this picture of this little girl, and I asked him, you know, is that your daughter? And he said, yeah. And I said, I'm somebody's daughter, too. You know, will you please let me go? I had a pimp tell me that I wasn't going to make it. Trying to get out. One of the happiest moments in my life was when I graduated from college.
You are hearing the voice of a child sex trafficking victim. That was Leah Jonette Albright-Bird, who is now a nationally recognized motivational speaker and human rights educator. You know, I'm just so overwhelmed, and it's hard to change public perception because Karen Stark, New York psychologist, I thought for so many years children were kidnapped or they ran away, but I always would suspect a kidnap when a child would go missing. But this is much bigger than single kidnaps. This is child sex trafficking, and it's happening all around us. Do you remember, Karen, when you and I covered the case of Shasta Groney? She and her brother, Dylan, were kidnapped and brutally raped over and over and over. Dylan was murdered. And then video surveillance emerged after we began covering it on TV so often, and a 7-Eleven worker, a convenience store worker, identified Shasta. And she was just walking along a few paces behind her kidnapper and her brother's killer. She looked sad and downcast, and she wasn't speaking, but she wasn't screaming for help. She didn't indicate in any way that something was wrong or run up to someone and say, help me, I've been kidnapped. So you can't tell. When you see a child sex trafficking victim, you don't know that. Why?
You don't know that because they're not capable of asking for help. They are terrified, and they become indoctrinated where they don't feel like they should belong in a different situation. They don't really understand anymore what's happening to them. This is what life is like. It becomes normal. So they're terrified for their life. but they've also adapted to the situation, believing that they deserve to have this happen. They take responsibility for it. Children blame themselves for everything.
Take a listen to this.
We took a ride along with police. In one case, officers found the 14-year-old staying in a vacant house.
He hadn't eaten a meal in 3 days. Those are the types of kids that we're dealing with in this, and it's really sad.
Once recovered, the next step is to ask a series of questions to find out if they were sex trafficking victims.
Who did they stay with? Did somebody pay for them to stay somewhere? Did they do favors for them? Did they give them drugs?
Officials tell us 1 in 6 runaways get involved in sex trafficking. By finding them, it not only saves their life, but it could lead police to the traffickers. In less than a day, law enforcement officials recovered more than 100 missing kids from Wayne County. Of those, 3 sex trafficking cases have opened.
If we can do this more often, hopefully we won't have this big of a problem.
You are hearing from WXYZ-TV News Detroit, Seema Chowdhury, speaking with Michigan State Police, Sarah Krebs, about a huge operation, Michigan Save Kids, that saved 123 child victims. You know, that begs the question, what would you do if your child went missing? Do you know what to do? Do you know that over 450,000 missing children are reported every year? 1 in 7 so-called runaways are now believed to be victims of child sex trafficking. Age doesn't matter to the sex traffickers or the kidnappers. What do you do if the unthinkable happens to you? You know what? I've got Mark Klass right here with me, who joined me as we were creating Justice Nation Crime Stops Here, a 5-episode series delivering action information that you apply in your daily life. You go to crimestopshere.com. You know, Mark Klass, you were the one that told me nearly 40% of kidnaps happen to and from school. And I could not believe it, Mark.
It's absolutely unbelievable, because given that knowledge, we can take steps to be able to protect children on those school routes and dramatically cut the instances of stranger abduction in the United States. And I'm talking about surveillance, whether it's high tech, whether it's low tech. I'm talking about better school bus routes. I'm talking about, giving children the knowledge that they may be targeted going to and from school because of the patterns that have been established.
And, you really opened my eyes to that. We cover safe at home, out and about, safe online, safe at school, safe at daycare or with a babysitter. Go to crimestopshere.com. Use promo code Nancy for 15% off. Proceeds are going to National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and Klass Kids Foundation, founded by Mark Klass, to help save children. Right now, we are really spurred on by a Michigan sweep that discovered 123 missing children, many of whom we now believe were sex trafficked. You know, I'm so overwhelmed with what is happening. Joe Scott Morgan, for instance, on a plane, let's just say on a plane, how do you identify that a child has been sex trafficked?
Well, I think that in my estimation, that if the child is acting oddly, say they're reserved, maybe perhaps they're acting in terror. They look diminished in some way. Say, for instance, they're frightened. They're contracted in some way, perhaps seeking something to eat. Maybe they haven't been fed in some time.
You know, I'm reminded of a very recent incident where an airline ticket agent saved 2 teenage girls from human trafficking. It was an American Airlines ticket agent. The quick thinking on behalf of that agent saved 2 little girls in a human trafficking, sex trafficking scheme. And that is according to police in Sacramento. These 2 teen girls were boarding a flight to New York from Sacramento without ID, without adults, without luggage. That's a big indicator, according to ticket attendant Denise Miracle. And what a name. How appropriate is that? She called authorities. She said the tickets were first class and purchased online, as Mark Klass just told us, with a credit card and a name that did not match either one of the girls. And the card had been flagged for fraud. Between the two little girls, they had a bunch of small bags, and it looked like they were running away from home, and they kept looking at each other. That looked fearful. And this flight attendant just got the feeling, the deep feeling, that something was very wrong. As it turned out, after the flight attendant, Miss Miracle, calls the cops, the girls say that a guy named Dre had gotten their tickets, that they had first met on Instagram, and that they were going to be paid $2,000. Well, guess who Dre was? A child sex trafficker. What about that, Mark Class?
Well, you know, it's a 21st century phenomenon, Nancy, that we finally are identifying these underage girls. And when I say underage, I mean under the age of 18 that are engaged in prostitution. We, prior to the 21st century, we always considered them criminals. They were the prostitutes. Now we understand that it's a very different dynamic, that in fact they are the victims and that the real criminals are the ones that control them. So just that shift in understanding has led to this whole openness about the issue, so that ticket counters are able to identify people that might be involved in these kinds of situations. So it's about education, it's about awareness, and it's about continuing the fight to save these young girls.
If you have any information on human trafficking, a tip, even a theory, something you've seen, please call 888-373-7888. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.